sitting around the back porch, sipping on our Coors Light, watching the sun fade away, just another summer night. I'm looking at you, my baby, you're my country crock girl. Let's get back to my truck, I'll try my luck, I'm gonna rock your world. Let's see you move, let's see you shake, charge your batteries by the lake. I'll change your eyes, replace your hair, take you in for a repair. AI Robot Riley, you're my love, yeah, Robot Riley, I'm in love. Maybe you don't feel, maybe you're not real, but Robot Riley, I got you on sale. Yeah, I got you on sale.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
I disliked everything about them from the beginning, mainly their music. Like, yeah. It started with their music, but then went on to everything else. And I don't have anything against, like, the guys. Okay, I'm sure they're fine human beings. But the music is terrible. I mean, we can all admit, the music is terrible. And people will be like, no, it's catchy, man. It's good rock and roll. No, it's not. It's manufactured in a popcorn machine and, like, you know, spoon-fed through pop radio. It's not good music. Nothing about it. The lyrics aren't good. The singing's not good. The music part of it, the musicality isn't good. Nothing's good. And I see them at the Iowa State Fair in front of 100,000 people. And the 100,000 people that I saw in that crowd are the 100,000 people that you would expect to be at the Nickelback concert.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Chris and Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. As a five Trey Senna dolphin, I will... I will let my dolphin... Let my dolphin noises fly, Chrissy.
Your dolphin flag.
Be careful, I'm also a crocodile.
That's right,
sharp teeth. I'm sharp and I'm quick and I'm under the water. Sneaking around or something, I don't know.
Just putting your
yeah,
eyes,
putting my yeah, just having nose. My nostrils yep. Sneak up there. Welcome back. It feels like we've been off forever, but we really haven't been off for any time whatsoever. But I don't know. It felt like a vacation or so. It felt like it's been an extended time since we've recorded. But thank you for hanging in there. Did you get a chance to watch the VMAs?
I did not watch the VMAs, but I read all about it.
It was very millennial focused.
Uh-huh,
and
I saw that.
I also know I read it online, but I also kind of picked up on it while it was going on. I didn't watch the whole thing because I can't stomach an entire VMA anymore. It's just not for me. When I was a kid, it was everything to me.
It was appointment viewing.
It was everything to me. Pearl Jam was going to play. Even when I was like a young kid, my parents would turn it on. The only time I got to watch MTV was when the VMAs came on, because I think even my parents were interested in it. So Madonna and Michael Jackson and all
Britney
those
Spears,
like,
all the people.
All of it. But this one, what I think they have a demographic. They know what that demographic is, and they're spoon feeding that demographic, which is people in their 30s, essentially. People in their 30s and, you know, maybe late 20s, I don't know. Because you got Lady Gaga, you've got LL Cool J, you've got Ricky Martin, you've just got Mariah Carey. You've got a lot of people who are still good at what they do. I mean, I don't know about LL. Isn't LL like 58 years old or something?
Well, he was a host, right? I mean, he was just
is anybody,
he's an actor now.
I know. Is anybody looking for LL to host the VMAs?
He's cool.
I'm not
like
saying he's
ladies
not.
Ladies love Cool J.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's not. But I'm just saying, like, when you think of that, all the hip kids that could be out there, one of the K-pop girls or something. I don't know. Something like that. Like, you know, LL Cool J shows up. They're targeting that audience. And good for them. They should, because quite frankly, that's where the ad dollars are, too. So that's
well, and I think a lot of, like, younger kids, too, are also kind of like, it's cool to like all the stuff from the 90s.
Yeah, everything old is new again. Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah, nothing makes me feel older than walking in somewhere and seeing, like, a seven-year-old with a with a Nirvana t-shirt.
Right.
That makes me feel so fucking old. I'm like, wait. This is Gap for Kids now? Gap for Kids is now Nirvana? That's what we're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. There's a terrible noise in my microphone. Can you hear that?
No, I can't hear it.
You can't hear it?
I cannot.
You know what it is? It's this sign.
Oh, it is the sign. We've done that. We've
already investigated that. Okay, I fixed it. Thank you. Back. Hey, we're back to the commercial break. Yeah, no, seeing a kid with a Nirvana shirt on just drives me crazy.
I mean, I guess, though, because I remember when I was younger, like, oh, the 70s were so cool.
It's true. I bet my parents were pissed when they saw me wearing a Doors t-shirt.
Right.
Like, what do you fucking know about the Doors?
Exactly.
I saw the movie. Val Kilmer's great in it.
He was great in it.
He was. Where's the biopic on Kurt? I mean, there has been a biopic on Kurt. I think it was called Elephant. Was it called Elephant? Do you remember that?
A couple different things that they've put out. They're all available on Amazon, I think. I've kind of scrolled through them. But yeah, there needs to be like a big one.
There needs to be.
Courtney Love's probably holding that up.
Yeah, Courtney Love doesn't allow any of that stuff to happen. She's just like she's a big stick in the mud. And listen, I don't have anything personally against Courtney except for the fact that she murdered Kurt. That besides that, I think everything's just fine.
Yeah.
You know, besides murdering her husband, everything's fine. I just find it hard to wrap my head around. Anyway, I don't want to get into a whole conspiracy theory thing here on the show. You get it. If you know, you know. I-K-N-Y-K-D-Y. But I will say that the VMAs was relatively entertaining.
Okay.
But there was one part that I want to talk about specifically. And that's when they went live to somewhere I'm not sure where, because I don't think I heard what they said. But it was Post Malone and what's his name? The big guy that everybody loves who's got tattoos.
Jelly Roll.
Yeah. Post Malone and Jelly Roll.
They probably were in Nashville.
Maybe in a big open stadium, but it looked like a smaller open stadium. Anyway, they go live to Post Malone and to Jelly Roll, where it's clear to me, and I don't know if anybody else picked up on this. Maybe there was a small delay. There definitely was crowd noise, but it appeared to me that there was a track being used. Like it was lip syncing. At least Post's was. Maybe Jelly was doing it, but there's something off about his lips and the music that was going on.
You're the detector for that.
I was a detector for this stuff, although I've gotten it wrong. I say I get it right 100% of the time, but I've gotten it wrong at least three times on this show. But I will share with you that Post Malone doesn't look good to me. Like, I don't want to speculate on somebody, and I don't know him well enough, I guess, to know what he's supposed to look like. But he doesn't look healthy to me.
Mm-hmm.
He looks, I don't know, like in some stage of disrepair. Do you know what I'm saying?
He's a big drinker and smoker, and I would say partaker of other things.
Oh, so I gotta imagine that guy's on the scissor or something. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I get it. It's rock and roll lifestyle, all that jazz. But it was kind of shocking. His hair looked like he just got out of bed. He had like bed head, and then he was like swerving all around the stage and spitting on himself, and And I've seen other reels out online where he doesn't appear to be in the best of health.
Yeah.
I guess is the best way to say it. I mean, I don't know. I guess he's a rock and roll star. What the fuck, dude? It wasn't like Kurt Cobain. Yeah, it wasn't like Kurt Cobain was in the best of health either. Okay,
yeah.
I get it. Either, you know, or Lane Staley or Scott Weald and Scott Stapp. It all goes back to Creed. Yeah. All of it. What happened to their big comeback tour?
That's right. We talked about that.
I think they sold out a lot of those shows, actually. And now, what is that? I can't think. Nickelback. I want to say Silverback. Nickelback is on their tour. It is just the worst. It's the worst.
Yeah.
So many people love them, but I just cannot for the life of me get it. They were playing like the Iowa State Fair.
No, I didn't like them at the time. They were cool before.
I disliked everything about them from the beginning, mainly their music. Like it started with their music, but then went on to everything else. And I don't have anything against like the guys. Okay, I'm sure they're fine human beings. But the music is terrible. I mean, we can all admit the music is terrible. And people will be like, no, it's catchy, man. It's good rock and roll. No, it's not. It's manufactured in a popcorn machine and like, you know, spoon fed through pop radio. It's not good music. Nothing about it. The lyrics aren't good. The singing's not good. The music part of it, the musicality isn't good. Nothing's good. And I see them at the Iowa State Fair in front of 100,000 people. And the 100,000 people that I saw in that crowd are the 100,000 people that you would expect to be at the Nickelback concert. All white, all in some state of disrepair.
It's a certain type.
It is. There's a type. It's a stereotype for that. But I just had to share that Post Malone, the visuals of Post Malone were shocking to me. And they were singing a song like, this one's goes to the losers. This one's out for the losers. Mm-hmm. And
He's done a whole country part of his career now.
Yeah. Well, it's cool. It's cool to be country.
It is.
It's cool to be country. Mm-hmm. Nashville's
a hot spot now.
Is at its zenith.
Really? I mean,
and
gosh,
I feel bad
there
for Nashville because everything at its zenith will soon be in the ashes. It all happens. Trust me, it happens. You know, country is now pop, and pop is country, and rock is country, and rap is country. It's all, mm-hmm. it's ubiquitous. Music is all, remember I talked about the singularity of music?
Yes, you
it's
did.
It's all happening. And everyone laughed at me. Everyone laughed at me when I talked about that. But it's happening. The singularity of music. The fact that we're all just going, it's all going to be indiscernible pretty soon. It's going to be the same rhythms and the same beats and the same fucking chord progressions because it is. And if I had get one more K-pop song stuck in my fucking head, swear to God. The kids are listening to it. It's on every radio station. It's at every
huge.
Starbucks. It's everywhere. It's huge. People mm-hmm. are fawning over this K-pop demon hunter. You know,
I mean, it's been huge for a while, but I guess this movie kind of, you know, even pushed it further.
That's it. And mm-hmm. I guess now they're the girls who sang the songs for K-pop Demon Hunter are out there doing a tour.
Of course,
and people
they
are fainting over themselves. I mean, really,
I've never been to that point with anyone.
I think Pearl Jam when I was a kid, but I was a kid,
yeah.
right? I wasn't fainting over anybody.
Well, that's what I mean. Like full-blown fainting because seen it happen
yeah.
in the crowd. Michael Jackson used to have people just going nuts and crying and
screaming, fainting.
I mean, I'm going to cheer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Justin Bieber.
But,
you know.
I don't know about fainting.
Ariana Grande. Like, all these people have this level of fandom where people are dying. Jonas Brothers. I mean, my first concert was a Michael Jackson concert. I sat way mm-hmm. up in the rafters, right? Mm-hmm. It was the Bad Tour. And I sat way up in the rafters. My parents got us tickets. We were like through the roof, right? It was one of the first things we ever did here in Atlanta mm-hmm. that was eventful. And it was my first concert.
That's cool.
It was very cool. I love, I, God bless, you know, the ghost of Michael Jackson and all the wrong that he has done to people, apparently. But it was the coolest fucking thing that ever happened when my parents said, we're going to Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Tonight. I can't believe they did that.
Yeah. Worst seats you've ever had. To any concert, up in the rafters of the Omni, right? But I still distinctly recall every 3 or 4 minutes, someone was being pulled from the crowd.
Yeah.
Someone in the down on the floor was being pulled from the crowd. They lost it. They couldn't handle it. And so, yeah, I don't remember being that level of fandom. I remember being very excited to be in the same room as a musician that I really adored, right? Mm-hmm. But I didn't faint.
Right.
I wanted to actually see the show. So I breathed. I took a breath. That's what I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of Ariana Grande, I saw a little, speaking of a shocking, I mean, she's always been thin, but man, I saw a picture of her, like the breastbones were there. It was a picture of her and Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're both beautiful women. And I love Ariana. She's got a great voice. But man, the breath, the bones.
Yeah, she is absolutely beautiful. But her and Cynthia Erivo are competing for which one has the most collarbone showing. And I don't want to talk about other people's appearances.
No.
Like, I don't want to be that guy who's like, you know, shitting on other women, on women's appearances because.
Well, this was more than the collarbone. This was like breastbone.
I know.
Yeah.
But I will say that it does give a shock to the system to see somebody so skinny.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make assumptions all you want. No one really knows.
No.
I think she has said that she has had
problems. She's always been tiny.
Yeah. Oh, she's always been small. That's mm-hmm. just her frames, as with Cynthia Erivo. But the last couple of photos I have seen of both of them, like I saw Cynthia doing some doing a version of Jesus Christ Superstar.
Well, and those Broadway shows are very physical.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah. So if you're not eating, you're going to lose weight real quick. I mean, if you're not eating enough calories, you're going to mm-hmm. eat. And, you know, I don't know. You can only hope that if that appearance is from something that is not healthy, like an eating disorder, which millions of people have. I think I have one too. Like everybody has some weird eating disorder, right?
Yeah.
Or some version of like they look in the mirror and they don't see what other people see. That is
dysmorphia.
Dysmorphia. It is so common. I mm-hmm. would bet 75% of people in the United States of America over the age of 18 or over the age of 13 have some version of an obsessive eating disorder, just a straight up eating disorder, a compulsive eating disorder, or have some form of dysmorphia. But you can only hope that if that appearance is from something that is dangerous to their overall mental or physical health, that there is someone around them who is saying something.
I would hope so too. And again, maybe it could be all just natural. But
sure.
I didn't like the look.
I'm with you.
It was kind of a shocking look of the breastbone.
I'm with you. Listen, let me be the last one to talk about anybody else's appearance because I am one ugly fucking motherfucker. But I'm an ugly motherfucker and I go up 10 pounds and I go down 10 pounds and I'm sideways and a dad bod and the whole nine yards and I look like a big flabby ghost.
That is
a
not
bald,
true.
Flabby ghost
that is not
with
true.
A big nose and huge ears. But I will share this with you that I agree with you. I saw the same pictures. It did bring me to some state of like, whoa. Mm-hmm. And same with Cynthia. Same with Cynthia.
I haven't really noticed her, but maybe I haven't seen as much pictures.
Look at like Google
the
picture.
I just happened to look at this one of Ariana and Sabrina Carpenter. And it was she had a really low cut dress, or you know, you could see.
Yeah.
And then the it was like
circular.
Like
I know breasts. You could see the whole thing.
Yeah,
I saw it. Here's the thing: like I dated someone who had a verified eating disorder.
Yes, you did.
And it was no secret, and she would share it with anybody who she talked to for more than 15 minutes. She was very open about this. In other words,
yeah.
And I could tell how deep, and that eating disorder went on while I was living in the house with her. And the only way that I knew, well, there was a couple different ways that I knew, but I didn't hear throwing up. I didn't see throwing up, nothing like that. But I knew when she went to the bathroom after every time she ate. And so I could tell how bad we were fighting our demons based on her collarbone.
Oh,
yes. Yes. Based on her collarbone. If I could see her whole collarbone, things were bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But if I didn't, then things were a little bit good. Okay. Let's take a break. And when we get back, we'll stop being a bummer.
I know. I didn't mean to take us in that direction.
I brought up the VMAs, and now we're talking about my ex-girlfriend's eating disorder. Oh, all right, we'll be back.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of the commercial break.
Speaking of unhealthy and eating disorders, let's talk about this because you and I were sharing this before the show, and I've shared some stuff on my personal Instagram. You go, Brian W. Green. You can go and follow me. But on my personal Instagram, about a week ago,
God, that show,
I talked about the show that has really taken the world by storm, and for good reason.
Yes.
And if you haven't heard of Unknown Caller, The High School Catfish,
on
then,
Netflix,
yeah, do yourself a favor. And
or
go
don't
watch
God.
An example of what the worst kind of parenting in history is.
Oh, it was so shocking.
I'm about to give it away. So if you want to watch this show and you don't want the twists and turns to be revealed during the program, then turn this off until the next segment. Fast forward 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Unknown Caller.
Oh, God.
The high school catfish is exactly what it sounds like. And let me explain. Lauren and Owen are a very young 13-year-old couple. They've known each other for a while, and they start dating. Lauren is like the sports girl of all sports girls. She plays softball and volleyball and gymnastics. She's into a lot of sports. She's very good at what she does. She's quiet. She's shy. And Owen is the opposite. Owen is also plays sports, but he is outgoing and popular. But they make a good couple, and they like each other.
Yeah, they look cute.
It's puppy love. It's 13
right,
years old.
Right.
I mean, you know, what's not to like about that, right?
The parents become friends with each other.
They're all fast friends, but they live in a town of about 13,000 people.
Tiny.
A tiny town. And they have one school, high school.
That goes all the way from
K
to 12.
To 12.
Yeah.
And there's 700 kids in the entire school. This is a tiny fucking town, right? So they've all been going to school together for a very long time. No one moves in this town, I imagine. Only people move out. That's mm-hmm. the kind of town that this is. Where is the town? In Michigan, I think?
It was somewhere in the Midwest.
Michigan or Ohio, one of those two.
Yeah.
That's not relevant to the story. So one night, right before Halloween, they are talking about the fact that they are going to go to the local Halloween scare party, the party that's put on by the parents where all of the kids and all of the parents show up and they have a big powwow,
and
right?
The boy got invited and she didn't.
Supposedly. Mm-hmm. There's been now some reels evidence that no one was invited ever. It was just open to everybody.
It was just the party to go to.
According to the people who threw this. Anyway, the story goes that Owen was invited, but Lauren didn't want to go because Lauren was kind of an outcast and Lauren didn't feel comfortable around some of the other popular girls mm-hmm. in school. And she didn't feel like she got directly invited. So she felt like it might be rude to show up. But Owen says, no, you should come. You're my guest. You're my plus one.
Yes.
Right before the party starts, they get a text message, a group text message from an unknown caller saying, better not come to the party. You know, don't go to the party with Owen. No one wants you at the party. Mm-hmm. You didn't get invited. You're not supposed to go.
You're flat ass.
You're flat ass. You're skinny tits.
Oh, I mean, saying awful things.
The most horrendous kind of things that you can say to a teenage girl, especially, mm-hmm. right? Any teenager. But really, you know, we all understand it doesn't take a genius to figure out.
We just talked about the body dysmorphia that happens.
And the pressure mm-hmm. on girls at a very young age to look a certain way, act a certain way, do a certain thing. This unknown caller is beating Lauren up.
Oh.
Not one time, not two times, but sometimes 50, 60, 70 text messages a day for a year.
Oh, more than a year.
Well, I mean, the first round.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And then also, conversely, not only is she saying, or not only is this person saying bad things about Lauren, but is also saying, you know, you don't make him come. Like, you need to give him a blowjob, and you need to do, like, very graphic sexual, highly graphic. About the boy.
Yeah. Yeah, I give him blowjobs, you don't. Mm-hmm. I make him come, you can't. Yeah. You know, he wants to fuck you from behind, but he fucks me from behind. Just the most insane thing you could be saying to a 13-year-old. I have small children, and I know at 13 they're going to be well-versed in all this stuff, but I don't expect they're going to be doing it.
No.
No, that's just, it's not what a 13-year-old is thinking about. And, I mean, shouldn't be what a 13-year-old is thinking about. Blowjobs at 13? Come on. That's even for Brian, that's a little advanced. Yeah. And I was pretty advanced, right?
Yeah.
This goes on for the longest of time. Tens of thousands of text messages.
They pull in the school people.
They pull in the parents.
They pull in the police.
They pull in the police. They pull in every child that they think might be mm-hmm. able to identify who this person is. They look at video to see when the text messages come in at that exact minute, was there anybody in the school that was hiding or text messaging or whatever. But they point to a bunch of different people, and in the documentary you'll see it, they point to a bunch of different people, but they can't nail it down mm-hmm. because they don't have evidence against anybody. And the local police officer can't do shit because the local police officer doesn't have essentially a cyber squad that can go and identify where these phone numbers are coming from. So after a year of this, Owen and Lauren break up. The pressure's too mm-hmm. much. And Owen continues to get more text messages, and Lauren is the shit on left and right.
Yeah.
So they're both individually getting text messages now.
They thought that's what the person wanted, was for them to break up. So then they do. They break up, but
They're still getting the text messages.
And crazy amounts.
The messages are ratcheting up on Lauren. Kill yourself.
Yes.
You know what I want. Kill yourself. Off yourself. No one wants you here. Why are you still alive? I mean, just...
It was awful.
So much so that the local sheriff is checking in on Lauren at school. He's like coming to the school and mm-hmm. being like, it's okay. Someone is insane. It's not you. It's them. I want to make sure you're safe. He's going to Lauren's house to make sure she's
Meanwhile,
okay.
Meanwhile, Lauren's parents are you know, fed up. The dad is like, who the fuck is this?
Why
like,
can't I just you want find this person?
Yeah, I mean, all the parents are up in arms. It's crazy.
The whole town is involved.
Yeah.
The whole fucking town. Every child. And poor Lauren and poor Owen still have to go to fucking school.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, everybody is snickering behind their back because this is just like, it became the high school drama that everybody latched on to. And Lauren is the shy girl who just doesn't want the spotlight at all. And all she wants is it for it to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to ask yourself, why don't we get Lauren and Owen a new phone and a new phone number.
Yeah, because that was floated.
That was floated. And at times, the parents took the phones away from them, and they would respond to the person, who are you? What do you want? Hundreds of text messages sometimes a day.
Yeah.
So it was ultimately decided by Lauren's parents, we're not getting her a new phone, because why should she have to change?
Well, it was his parents. It was the boy's mom that was like, I want to find out who this is. And if we just change the number, then we're never going to know.
Right. I think it was like a collective.
Yeah.
We need to keep the phones so we can figure out who this is, so that that person can pay. They can pay for essentially cyber bullying and stalking, which is something that happens on a daily basis to thousands or hundreds of thousands of kids and people. I know, it's crazy.
We did not have that.
No, we didn't. God. We had bullying.
Yes.
But we didn't have cyberbullying.
No.
It didn't follow us in our pockets.
Right.
You could walk away from it. You could run away from it. You could go home at night and be away from it. But this,
have some peace.
Yes, this is like nonstop pressure of someone who fucking hates your guts and just wants you to end your life, especially for Lauren.
Yeah,
so,
and then the boy even ends up dating somebody else, and the person, the unknown caller, finds that girl in another town.
Right. He dates somebody. Like, he goes on a baseball tournament. He meets a girl. He starts dating her. She's 40 miles away, and no one knows her in this small town. And Owen starts dating her, and the unknown caller finds her and, parents,
yes,
and starts texting them. Owen doesn't love you. You don't give him blowjobs like I do. I'm sleeping
again
with him.
Again, with all the sexual.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And so the girl breaks up with Owen because the parents are like, not going to be involved in it. Not, no way. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Charlie. I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah,
but you can only imagine, in the absence of information, is this Owen doing it to himself?
Yeah.
Is this Owen's friends? Is it Lauren? Is it one of Lauren's sisters? Is it, and Lauren, one of Lauren's cousins is accused at one point?
Yes.
It's insane.
Because the person was sending pictures of, like, that could only have come from like a Christmas party.
The unknown caller is inside the house.
Yes, sending pictures.
It's insane. That's insane. It's insane. It's maddening. It's maddening.
Yeah.
By the way, this documentary moves along. So it moves along about as quick as Chrissy and I are talking. It's only like 120. It's only like an hour and 20 minutes long.
It's an hour and a half. Yeah.
So guess what? The FBI gets involved. Mm-hmm. The sheriff finally calls the FBI and says, I can't do anything else about this. And I am really, I'm concerned that someone's about to kill themselves. I'm concerned that we're going to have loss of life here, or someone's going to get hurt. I need the FBI involved. And the FBI answers the call.
Yep.
And they send it to a cybersecurity investigator, an FBI agent. That FBI agent takes him lickety-split 2 seconds to figure out exactly where this is coming from. He finds the IP addresses where all these text messages are coming through a phone masking system.
Yep.
And he subpoenos the phone masking system. He finds the IP addresses through Verizon.
Yeah.
And then
that guy was good. I liked him. They interview him on camera.
Yeah. It took him like 4 days to figure it out. Right.
Yeah.
And he had to get some search warrants and call Verizon and, you know, subpoena them and all that other stuff. But an FBI agent, that probably is like the everyday work for
him.
So he sends the phone numbers to Lauren. To Lauren, Owen, and to Owen's parents.
And
he says, I can't give you any more information except for the phone number, and you have to tell me if any of these match inside of your phone.
Yeah.
And they start looking through their phone, and within a day, they figure out that all of the messages, all of them, every single one of them, has come from Lauren's
mother.
Lauren's mom is telling her to kill herself. Lauren's mom wants her to break up with Owen. Lauren's mom wants her to give blowjobs to Owen, to make him come like she does, to sleep in hotel rooms like she is.
Yeah.
Lauren,
the shock of all shockers.
Mom is a fucking psychopath who is trying to get her own daughter to jump off a bridge. But I actually don't think that's what's going on. I think this is Munchausen by proxy.
Right.
I think Lauren's mom wants Lauren to need her so badly. I think two things are going on. Number one, I think Lauren's mom was obsessed with
Owen. The boy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think she had a sexual fetish about Owen, and she couldn't get him out of his head. Mm-hmm. She fell in love with a young boy and couldn't get it out of his head. Sickness number one. Sickness number two, Munchausen by proxy, which means that you fake illnesses or make somebody sick so that you have to be the one, so that
the
they
caretaker.
Need you. Yeah, they need you. This is a very famous sickness.
Yeah, well, the whole Rose, Gypsy Rose.
Gypsy Rose.
That's what that was, too.
So you make your kids sick enough that they need you.
But this is like a cyber Munchausen or whatever.
They call it cyber Munchausen by proxy. Yeah. But what either in any situation, it's just a mother being a shithead.
Hurting the child.
Hurting the child so the child
so needs, her.
Needs her. And when this is revealed, they actually have video.
Yes.
Body camera footage of the sheriff going to the house.
Yes, yes, God.
And she immediately starts making excuses. Yeah. She knows she's busted, but she immediately starts making excuses.
Yeah.
She's got burner phones. She's
got computers.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she's been,
she was in tech.
But she wasn't in tech.
But she hadn't been working for a year, but she told the husband she'd been working for a year. The whole thing is nuts.
It's insane.
They have to call the husband at work. The husband comes home. He's freaking out.
Of course he's freaking out.
Yeah.
You just tried to kill our daughter.
Yeah.
I would have done the same thing. I would have been like, game over, kid.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I'm leaving and I'm taking the children, or you're leaving and you're not taking the children. And I don't want to talk to you until the until never. Yeah, until never, because I don't want you around my children because you just tried to kill one. You didn't physically put your arms around her neck, but what you did was you made her so mentally damaged that she'll be lucky if she ever recovers.
I don't know how any of them recover from this.
I don't know either.
But their whole life. The boy, her, Lauren, the people that were involved even in the school. I mean, it's just the parents.
Yes. It's
shocking.
It's beyond description how sickening and how maddening it is as a parent to watch this parent unparent her child in the most vicious of ways. Crocodile indeed. Sharp teeth indeed. Like, this is beyond my own comprehension.
Me too. It was mind-blowing.
Yes. When my child gets hurt, I want to fix it as fast as possible. Because I hate to see my children in pain. And I know the first breakup, the first relationship disaster, the first I didn't get invited to, the first no one asked me to prom, the first rejection on a date, all of that stuff is going to crush me like 1,000 bricks.
Yeah.
I can't imagine wanting my child to be in additional pain.
No.
I can't imagine wanting my child to get that kind of messaging from anybody. Let alone from my own brain.
Yeah.
And Lauren's mom can make all the excuses she wants. And she probably does have PTSD and she was sexually assaulted and all as a child. It doesn't give you any excuse to pass that pain on to your own child. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. At some point, you just have to be a big girl and fucking put your tampon on and understand that when you have a child, your ultimate responsibility becomes do no harm.
Yeah.
It's like a fucking doctor. Do no harm.
Mm-hmm.
You may not be the best parent in the world. You may not have all the answers. You may not get it right 100% of the times. You may even be a loud mouth or an angry shithead every once in a while. That's human behavior. Do no harm. That's it. That's all you got to do as a parent. And I am so beyond frustrated that the one thing that ends this documentary is the one thing that seems like the biggest twist of all.
Yeah.
Which is that Lauren, despite her mother's incredibly crazy abuse, as I said in the reel that I posted last week, still wants a relationship with her mother. As a matter of fact, she petitioned the court to have a relationship with her mother, to take the restraining order off so that she could talk to her mother, because she says she doesn't feel the same. She doesn't feel whole without her mother, because her mother has manipulated her into this vicious relationship.
I mean, since she was a young child. The mother was also like the coach of the volleyball team.
And the coach of the boys' soccer team.
She was like super involved in school stuff.
Yes.
It's so weird.
How do you live with that duplicity? I don't know.
Psychopath. I don't know.
You know, I was talking to a friend of mine and we were talking about cheating, right? Like infidelity.
Yeah.
And I know I've never been a cheater. So, you know, they say once a cheater, always a cheater.
Either.
I've never been a cheater. But let's just assume for a second that I was. I just don't think I could live with the duplicity. I don't think I could live with
lies.
Like saying one thing to one woman and then saying another thing to another woman and then trying to make it all fit around a head. This woman had to run the ultimate playbook to get away with telling her daughter to kill herself one moment and then wishing her well off to school, picking her up when she got sick, coaching her volleyball team. It's absolutely insane.
It's insane.
You must watch this movie. We gave it all away, but you must watch this movie. We did it no justice. Netflix does a great job on this. Whoever directed this movie did a great job. It's poppy. It moves along very quick. You get to the meat and potatoes within minutes of getting started. And I will tell you right now that it is the best example of the worst parenting ever.
Ugh.
Go watch it. All right, we'll be back.
Okay, you're probably wondering why I, Rachel, have taken over the voice duties at TCB. It's pretty simple. Astrid asked me to shut Brian up, even for a minute. Well, lovely Astrid, your wish is my command. Do you want to help Astrid too? You know you do. Leave a message for her, or me, or Chrissy at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You can be on the show too. Mm-hmm. Just call and say something. Anything. Or text us and we'll text you right back. Promise. Then head over to tcbpodcast.com and get your free sticker. It's your constitutional right to a sticker, and we must abide. You get the point. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and watch all the episodes on video at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Best to you and Astrid, especially Astrid.
Oh my gosh, there's this like new video that's on TMZ. Okay, you ready for this?
Yeah, ready.
A wild clip surfaced from a congressional UAP hearing, an unidentified aerial projectile or something. I don't know what they call it anymore. Showing a UFO, essentially. Showing a glowing orb cruising over the Yemen coast like nothing happened. Even after the U.S. allegedly blasted a Hellfire missile at it.
What?
Yes. He whipped out some Eric Berlinson whipped out footage Tuesday in a DC showing of an MQ Reaper tailing the mystery orb October 30th, 24. But when the drone got the green light to fire, the missile literally bounced off it and the UAP flew away as if nothing happened.
What?
That is insane.
Hey.
I have always said since whenever we first talked about UFOs, which given this nature of this show, it's probably pretty early on.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind that aliens are out there, that we are not the only life form in the universe. It's nearly impossible mathematically for that to be true. Whether or not they're visiting Earth, I don't know. No one knows because I have never seen any evidence that says that it's true until recently. When now we're seeing more and more of these military videos that are coming out and military men and women who are coming out and sharing about all the things that they've seen when they're out there just doing, you know, secret patrols. Yeah. The Navy airmen who are following these UAPs out in the ocean and they're dipping down underwater and coming back up and they're videotaping them for hours at a time. Sometimes they're seeing them for months at a time. The pilots who are now coming out saying, we see this shit in the air too.
Yeah.
There's only one of two explanations. Either there truly are visitors here and I've also said this, there could be visitors here and they could be down at the bottom of the ocean.
Right.
They could be
like a microbacteria.
Yeah, or like koalas or something.
Yeah.
Dolphins. Crocodiles. Koalas. Koalas could be aliens.
Koalas and their syphilis.
Yes, there's damn syphilis. We don't know, right? You never know. How would you know? Like, we don't know what aliens look like or what they can do or how they shapeshift or any of that stuff. If they can master the technology to get to Earth, they're probably really good at disguising themselves. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but now we have some, I don't think it's advanced technology compared to them, but we have got technology that's advancing, like tracking video, you know, like it tracking imaging, right? Stuff that can track things that are moving at thousands of miles per hour. So it's one of two things. They're here and we're finally have the ability to record, identify, observe what they're doing and show it to other people. Or someone on this earth has technology that is amazing and they have yet to share it with us.
Yeah.
They have yet to tell us that this is what we're doing.
That's
right?
True. Mm-hmm.
And in either case, it is foreign to what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can dip in and out of water without making a splash, if you can travel and turn, if you can turn on a dime and travel at thousands of miles per hour and not have a wake or an exhaust or a propulsion, if you can do that, that is foreign to what I understand as a human being can actually be done. So in either situation, it's alien type shit. And we should know more about it.
Yes, we should.
I'd like to know. I'd like to know if that asteroid headed toward Earth is an actual spaceship or not long before it gets here. So I have the ability to make plans.
Uh-huh.
I want to go to a...
We're going into your pool.
Yes, we're going into my pool. we're emptying the pool.
Yeah.
We're putting a couple pieces of plywood
down
on top of it. We're going to get all the 90-day fiancés we can. My father-in-law is going to put in a generator.
Yes.
We're all going to hang out there.
I'll grab the wine.
We're going to shit down the drain.
That's right.
I'm going to install a toilet in my pool drain. It might smell, but at least we'll have 90-day fiancé.
And wine.
And wine when it all ends. I'm doing all the cacao ceremonies I can.
Yes.
I'm just saying, it's wild. There's some of this evidence that has come out that certainly supports something.
Something.
Yeah. I can't say what, but mm-hmm. there is, seems like now Congress has a bug
unexplained
up their boot. That, you know, as Congress gets younger, they're all a bunch of fucking old duddies, but as it turns, right? I think the willingness to keep the secrets, the willingness to turn a blind eye, the willingness to just let the CIA and FBI handle this in some secret room somewhere or,
yeah, that's, you know, going.
It's going because everyone's got a camera in their mm-hmm. hand and they can't ignore it anymore.
The
right?
People want to know.
Yeah. It's just, and I'm just amazed at some of this footage that we have seen over the last couple of years. It is really quite stunning. I think it's highly likely that it is that they are visitors or China or China.
Yeah.
It's visitors.
Remember those balloons?
I do. During the first Trump presidency, when we had a balloon just floating over for like 30 days.
Yes.
Hey, Chinese spy balloon. Nah, don't worry about that. No big deal. It's a hot air balloon with a big Chinese communist flag on it. And some cameras that can look into your bathroom from 3 miles away. Don't worry about it. Whatever.
They couldn't catch it or something.
Yeah, they were trying to figure out what to do with it. How do we get it? How do you get it? Yeah, I can almost promise you it's not the United States doing these UAPs because we couldn't get the balloon.
Right.
We didn't have technology to get the balloon. I mean, come on. We don't have something that addresses a balloon. They've been around for a long time. Honestly, it's like when I hear that a plane went down from a bird strike. It's like, we didn't have tech. We don't think about this ahead of time.
Yeah.
We don't put like a bird protector on there. Trains have cow protectors. I mean, what?
Yeah.
So we didn't have the technology to take down the balloon. I don't think it's the United States, but it could be China. Because China seems to be on
Russia, whoever.
China, Russia, North Korea, India, they're all getting together and saying, well,
yeah.
I guess it's our turn.
Right.
I guess it's our turn. Probably is their turn.
Let's band together.
Being honest. Yeah, listen, what are you going to do? No one here seems to be manning the ship. We're all worried about, you know, how we sign birthday cards for pedophiles.
Yeah.
Which is insane. Let's talk about this for a second.
Yes,
just one second.
Insane. Because now that the estate, the Epstein estate turned it over, they're like, no, it's true.
And Donald Trump's still saying it's not my signature. Meanwhile, tens of millions of signatures look exactly the same as the one he had, but probably not him. I mean, just the amount of bullshit that comes out of this guy's mouth on any given day is amazing. And to me, 50% of it is funny and then 50% of it is dangerous.
Is concerning.
Yeah. But I think we got to call a spade at this point and say that he is a full-on dictator and he is ruining not only the economy, but people's lives. And he, for whatever reason, is really, really, really concerned about Jeffrey Epstein. He is willing to break with his base, break with congressmen, break with the law, break with the Supreme Court, mm-hmm. break with the judges, break with everybody to protect Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, convicted pedophile. Well, yeah, he was convicted, but he was, you know, a sweetheart deal.
Yeah.
Something's going on. Was Jeffrey Epstein an Israeli master spy? I don't know. Maybe he was. Maybe there's pressure from Israel to...
Well, did you see, too, that the speaker came out and said, well, yeah, he was...
an FBI informant. Yeah.
an informant.
And then the White House was like, what?
What?
No? Huh? Wrong Mr. Pickford altogether. And listen, why wouldn't you want to say that out loud? Yes, I went undercover and I helped convict that pedophile. Why is that a bad thing? It's such a twisted, sordid tale.
It really is.
And the fact that he's going down in flames over this, like just like lying and lying and lying, and everybody around him lying and lying and lying, and everybody else out here in the, you know, universe, reality one, Earth one, we're all like, hey, right. Dude, that is your signature. There's like 1,000 pictures of you and him.
Yeah.
You clearly were. If you did nothing wrong, there's nothing to worry about.
Exactly.
You were friends with a really bad person. Mm-hmm. We've all been friends with bad people.
Yeah,
it happens.
Know.
And good people do bad things. I'm not saying Jeffrey Epstein was a good person.
No.
But what I'm saying is that, you know, you can be friends with someone that you didn't know was a monster.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make you a monster. And if that's the case, then the evidence will prove it. Let it all fly.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's one or two things going on here. Either there's more to this story. Oh, clearly there's more to the story,
yeah.
But there's more connection with Trump than anybody has learned yet, right? It's probably in the files somewhere.
And the longer it goes on, the worse it looks.
Absolutely. It's never the action. It's always the cover-up
mm-hmm.
in these political scandals. It's always the cover-up. But number two might be, is that Epstein was a master spy, collecting evidence against some of the most rich and powerful people, men in the world, for some foreign government or combination of foreign governments, the U.S. and Israel, the U.S., Israel, and Russia. Who fucking knows, right? That's a little bit of conspiracy theory, but there is some evidence out there that may suggest that was the truth. And now Trump is trying to cover up for those intelligence agencies. But at this point, let's all just let it out.
Let's just know.
He was a master spy. He was collecting evidence. Who did he collect evidence against? Because those people are bad people and we should convict them. That's it. That's
what. On either side of the aisle.
Yeah,
both,
I don't care.
Anybody.
Fucking Clinton. Who fucking. Okay. Clinton's 102 years old, right? He's carrying around a defibrillator just in case. When you're carrying around a defibrillator just in case, you ain't got much time left, right? I would share with you that it's pretty clear that Clinton had some more than just a friendly relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. He went to the island a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Sometimes you just got to meet your maker.
Yeah,
that's what happens.
Let it all out.
Let it all out. Send him to court. I don't give a shit whoever it was. These billionaires, this Les Wexler,
There's all the whole J.P. Morgan Chase, the bank.
That was
involved in the whole thing of the payments to the girls.
Apparently every modeling agency in history, and I will tell you what, I don't want to get involved in this twisted tale, but I will share just a little bit that I know as an outsider who saw some of this. I had a friend who worked in the modeling business, a female friend who worked in the modeling business at a rather high level. And she would always say to me, it's the worst business in the world. It is the scuzziest, scummiest, worst business in the world. And I think I'm starting to understand what she meant by that,
mm-hmm.
right? Because now all these stories are coming out that all of these owners of these huge modeling agencies, it was all just a front. Or not, maybe not a front.
Well, that one guy that he was connected to, he committed suicide in jail too for same stuff.
Yeah.
Like sex with 13-year-olds and what, it's just.
Yeah, he was like the
friend. He was French, right?
Yeah, like there was some French modeling agency that he had started. But all of these modeling agencies, Ford Models, all of these modeling agencies, they're all complicit in just being a mill for young, teen, preteen girls coming into the modeling business, and then they farm them out to whichever asshole. Because they want the money or because the owners directly were involved in the abuse of young women and men, I assume that was going on too. So unbelievable. Trump, here's a piece of advice. You're probably never going to listen to the commercial break, but in case this message gets you, here's a piece of advice. Just get it out in the open. Peel the Band-Aid off because it's not going to go away
until
you
kimono.
Open the kimono. Show your ring wang.
Yes.
Show your bat poop. Let's get it. Slide your willy in the sausage. You know what I'm saying? Let's all see your dingle dangles. Let's open the jizz factory and see how it's made. Do you know what I'm saying?
Apparently it's not that great. So here's what Stormy Daniels said.
Stormy Daniels had like a, you know, the police sketch artist, like a police sketch artist made a picture of his micro penis. I saw somewhere. Listen, he's our president. And I understand also Biden wasn't exactly a tic tac as a self. But I will share with you that there's a reel going around. And I don't know if it's AI generated. I have no idea. So I'm not going to claim it's true or it's not true. But it's him sitting on the couch of the Fox News morning show. And then is on a white couch and he's sitting there with his legs spread open. And then there's some series of noises, like they amplify the microphone. There's some series of noises that sound like someone shitting himself.
Oh,
and
no.
Then the couch starts to turn brown.
Oh, God, that can't be real.
But the crazy part is the next time he goes in, they put a pad, like a towel down under
really?
It. Yes, he showed it. Now, I don't know. With AI, you can do anything
these
days.
Yeah, that is true.
So I don't know. But it's going around. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm not trying to. I just thought it was funny. It made me laugh. It made me laugh.
Open the kimono.
Open the kimono.
Yeah, I mean, it looks worse and worse. It's not going to just go away, too,
no.
Right? Like, I mean, nobody's going to be like, oh, never mind.
No, it's not going to go away like the war in Ukraine or inflation.
Jeez.
Or the war in Gaza that you claimed went away. It's not going to go away like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's here to stay, my friend. So let it go. And let's end all wars. Man, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, seriously.
Israel just bombed Qatar.
No.
Jeez. Wow.
Russia's been bombing
Netanyahu
Ukraine.
Is unchecked. He is unchecked. Anyway, it's not a political show, but here we sound like CNN now. Anyway, to wrap it all up, the VMAs have a distinctly different
flavor
than they ever have before, which is now they're catering to the old people. They used to cater to the young people, now they're catering to the old people, but that's okay. You know, we need love too. Us old people need love too. I don't think I'm technically a millennial, but, you know, I still was into pop, you know, into like the new things back then.
Yeah.
Number two, go watch Unknown Caller Catfish, High School Catfish for an amazing hour and 20 minutes of shock and horror.
And be ready to just watch some Puppies and Kittens after that. I had to.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
Watch it on a nice day outside so you can go take a walk and breathe in some fresh air and look at the falling leaves.
Be glad you didn't have the mother that she had.
Oh, God damn. No shit, right?
Mm.
And UFOs are here to stay.
Yeah.
They're not going anywhere.
Open the kimono on that,
Open that kimono on that one, too. Well, they are. That's the good news is they're, you know, they're presenting evidence and stuff like that. 212-433-3TCB. 212-433-3822. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas. We take them all. So many people have been texting. I came into like 80 text messages the other day, and I was like, wow, that's a lot of text messages.
Hmm.
TCBpodcast.com for your free sticker. Audio and video are also available there at The Commercial Break on Instagram and youtube.com/The Commercial Break for all the episodes on video. Same day they air here on the audio. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do for now.
I think so.
I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
Best
to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.